Today on Real Radio.
I think so often in our Christian experience, we don't get answers because we don't come to God in faith. We come to God fearful and, well, I want to pray for the lost, but I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer. Are you kidding? He's going, come on, come on, come on in. And you can come in because of what Jesus has done for you. You have the ability to come in now, Timothy, and intercede with intercessions before our God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy. Among Paul's encouragements to this young pastor, he reminds Timotheus of his Jewish roots and the truths found in its scriptures. Now, we're going to look at the first 8 verses of chapter 2. Paul mentions not just prayer, but the different kinds of prayer. And in verse 5, there's a declaration that any Messianic Jew would truly appreciate. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But the context of this scripture, the text is suggesting to us clearly that this is evangelistic praying. So if we're going to be honest to this word, it literally means this: to come to God in great need because of the lost state of the world and for the Christians that are hurting in the fellowship. It's us coming to before God with request for the saved and the lost. Paul the Apostle did this a lot. In Romans 10:1, for example, he says that my heart's desire and prayer is that God would save Israel. He would pray for the salvation of the Jews. And so this word supplication means request or realizing only God can give me what I greatly need. I'm in great need. And Father, my need is I want the lost saved. We have been praying. We've had an invitation from a ministry formed by Calvary Chapel to go to the Soviet Union in May to speak on the squares to the people publicly, to preach to people and to teach pastors there in the Soviet Union. They have a great need there. We're asking God, if that's what He wants this chapel to be involved in, to show us. But there's no need for God to show us if we are not people in prayer and receiving from the Lord the vision to go forward. There will be no need of supplication if we don't open our eyes. We sit here in these chairs and we're comfortable. They don't have that privilege there. They have a need for chairs. You don't. So who cares? You have Jesus. They don't. So who cares? When you begin to pray, you begin to care. You begin, your heart and soul begins to traverse the globe as God leads you. And you begin to intercede and to commit to God's supplications for them, for your neighbor, for your lost wife, for your lost husband. You take it to the Lord. This next word is prayers, and that's prayers general. It also, the word there can be translated worship. And it speaks of a sacredness, the holiness of prayer, the awesome communing with God. That's why here, when we have a new convert here, we give them some material. And one of those handouts is the Effective Prayer Life book. It teaches them how to talk to God. It's that area of worship. It also encompasses supplication, intercession, in everything concerning prayer. This is prayers generally, but it can refer to specifically in the form of worship. You can be worshiping God in prayer, driving down the street, laying on the beach, laying in bed, or you can do what we did yesterday. Here I sat in my office reading books and praying and seeking the Lord, and that storm rolled by. Did you see that thing? And I saw it coming a long way off, and I saw these flashes of light. And then rumbles started to come. And then at one point, the bolt hit overhead, and the place is shaking, and an alarm went off down the street, and tremendous clap of lightning and thunder. And I just began to praise the Lord. I'm really into that kind of stuff. I love it. My heart immediately leaped to Job 28 and Job 38, where God says in the Bible to Job that I, God, cut the path for the thunderbolt. And I looked out of my window and I saw fingers of light spreading across the sky, and the Bible says that God cuts the path for those to go. And I went, praise the Lord. Did you know that's worship and that's prayer? Sometimes of the purest kind, because it's spontaneous and it's not planned and it's from the heart. That can be your prayers. This other word here, intercessions, I love this word. This is the word that's translated in your Bible, petitions. And listen to this. It means to bear the heart or to have interview. To have an interview. The word can also be translated inter or inner session. That means this. You go to a door, you knock on it, and the door opens up, and you come in, and the door is shut, and it's just you and the President of the United States. Or it's just you and your friend, you and your boss, you and your wife or your husband. It's very, very private. It is an interview. It is a communing together. And I want you to realize something. This is so precious because we have the opportunity as Christians to go right into the presence of God. That is our assurance. We've got that commitment that Jesus has made to us. And it goes kind of like this. We so often in our life come to God and we go to pray and, Lord, I pray for my friend, God. And God's going, what is that? Sounds like he's scared to death. Sounds like his knees are knocking. And I hope your view changes once and for all after this. Listen, I don't like to be bothered when I'm in my study. I want the door shut. I want to be in my book. And I only want to come out when my eyes are hurting or I want to take a break. But I want to go in there and hide during study times. But you know what? My kids come here and the door, wham, boom, flying in. They're all over my desk. They're all over my face. That's intercession. They come in freely. They come in uninhibited. The point is this, that you and I as Christians have the ability to come into the presence of God Almighty intimately and beautifully and say, Father, I pray for my spouse. Father, I pray for my boss. Lord, it's just you and me. And because of the boldness I have, because of what Jesus has done, God, I'm praying for the President of the United States. Father, I come to you. What do you think God does? Stay out. But Daddy, Abba, Father. No answer? Not on your life. I think so often in our Christian experience, we don't get answers because we don't come to God in faith. We come to God fearful and, well, I want to pray for the lost, but I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer. Are you kidding? He's going, come on, come on, come on in. And you can come in because of what Jesus has done for you. You have the ability to come in now, Timothy, and intercede with intercessions before our God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weakness. Are you weak? I'm weak. Good, I qualify here. But he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? Listen to this. This ought to be some assurance to you. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ." Get this in your mind. The Father sitting in heaven, Jesus who died on the cross for us, who paved the way for us to have access into the presence of God. He comes in and his blood was sacrificed. Not the blood of an animal, not the blood of a bull or a goat. Remember the Old Testament when Aaron and the boys came in, and then once a year the high priest would go in and he would offer the sacrifice, and it was the blood of animals that covered sin? God tolerated that. He allowed that to happen. He allowed blood to cover, kofar, to make a covering for their sins. If anything's insecure, it would have been that system then. But listen, people, we are Christians. We have Christ. We have his blood. We can enter into the throne, opening the door, walking on in, because of the blood of his only son. That is radical. The meaning is this. There's a knock at the door. We pray. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it says in the Bible, presents our prayer before the Father. The Father listens to the prayer. Jesus, by his blood, the Father, in a way, is bound. It's his duty to listen to his Son. Why? Because of the cross. Jesus has access constantly. Let me ask you something. Do you have access to Jesus? We do. By his wonderful, precious blood, we have boldness always. That's why when we as Christians, when we go to pray, we need to realize just exactly what we're doing. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Period. Right then and there, you need to realize that when you come in prayer, you've got a guaranteed entrance. It's in Jesus' name, and you have entrance. It's an incredible thought. I've quoted this to you before, and I'll forever quote this to you. John 15:7. What are some of the other guarantees that God will answer our prayers and hear our prayers? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. If the word of God dwells in your life, you can pray according to the will of God, according to the word of God, and Jesus says there'll be an answer. So what happens when we pray and we don't get an answer? We so often pray because, as James says, we're trying to consume something upon our own lust. Oh, God, if you give me that man, I'll serve you all my life. Oh, Lord, oh. Or, God, I can really serve you better if I had that new car. And God doesn't answer because he knows the motive. But when the word of God abides in your heart, you will pray. You will find yourself praying according to the will of God, and you can expect an answer. You can expect an answer. And those are some beautiful, precious promises to us. Now look at this one, the last one, and the giving of thanks. The Greek word is eucharista. That word is extremely beautiful. It means to be very active in thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. All right, Jesus. Thank you, God. Something happens in your life. Praise the Lord, God. It's not this, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is, oh, Lord, thank you, God. Eucharista speaks of enthusiasm. God blesses a church, and you start to get blessed. And I think personally, in our Christian experience, we really mess ourselves up by not thanking God enough. We need to praise him more. It is so cleansing and freeing to the soul. We can walk around all day long, well, I got a dent in my car. Hey, move to Mexico or Russia. You think you got problems because your Beamer's got a ding in it? They got nothing down there. We need to be more appreciative and grateful. Somebody told Charles Spurgeon, they were walking by on the way out, and the guy goes to Spurgeon, "Thank the Lord for this beautiful weather." Spurgeon says, "I'm thankful for weather." I like that. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm happy to be here. It'll change our lives. But a lot of people, a lot of Christians who have been radically blessed, including myself, oh, praise the Lord. Well, you know what? We better change. We better change quick. You know why? Because we're going to heaven. And I got news for you. There is no supplication in heaven. There's no prayers in heaven. There's no intercession in heaven. But there's giving of thanks. Out of all of these prayers mentioned here in verse 1, there's giving of thanks that will last forever. Revelation 4:8, "And the four living creatures, each having six wings," that's enough to wig you out, "were full of eyes all around and within." Wow, that's going to be heavy to see these things. "And they do not rest day or night." Revelation 4:8. Listen, day or night. I want to know how long they've been there. Because they don't rest day or night. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Are you kidding? These things day and night with six wings and eyeballs all around, inside and out. "Holy God, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And these things are worshiping, and these wings are going, and they're bowing. And we're going to show up in heaven because we've kicked Coke cans around down here on earth going, "Oh, big deal. Oh, God, I don't know why it's all happening to me." And we walk up there, we get raptured, and we're in the presence of God, and there's these things going like this. And that's not all. 24 elders, they got their crowns on their heads. Every time these things praise God, they fall, the 24 guys, I love it, they fall down on their face. And their crowns go rolling off, and everyone's praising, and there's a humongous song going up before God. And we're going, "Well, yeah, I guess I'm glad to be here." Gee whiz, are you kidding? It's going to be so awesome. We need to start thanking God now. We need to start giving God praise and worship and thanking Him for what we do have. Hey, thank God you have financial problems. Some people don't even have any finances at all. That's not their problem. Thank God you have a home to be concerned about. Just don't worry about it. Give it to Him. God has blessed us. God didn't bring you this far to drop you off, get you right down to the end zone, and then fumble the ball. He's not going to do that. He will see us all the way through. And Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, pray these things for all men. Give thanks for all situations." Now listen to this. Nero's in power. The beast, Nero of Rome. Nero's going to have Paul's head cut off his shoulders. Paul says, give thanks. Church history, Roman history, says that Christians who the... This is secular history. This is not in your Bible. You can get this out of a library. That Rome and the civilians there and the government, they wrote how incredible it was that Christians were praying for Nero even at the time of their execution. They were praying for the protection of the Roman Empire, that God would bless it. How do you do that? Only by God having full control and reign of a person's life. But prayer be offered up for all men, not just the good. We're so guilty of that, people in our Christian experience. Oh, God, bless Billy and this and that. Everybody close to us. But boy, we see somebody or hear somebody that's done us wrong. And there is a big, big struggle within. God says, pray for them. And you go, I don't want to pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, you know what? Listen, this will change your life. If you've got an enemy, if it's the Roman government, the IRS, America, if it's an enemy in your own home, if it's your boss, pray for him. Pray for him. Give thanks to God for him. You know what? I don't know if you've gotten a grasp of this in your Christian experience, but if you're born again, how many of you are born again? Raise your hand higher. Wow, look at that. If you're saved, the Bible says that there are really no accidents in your life, Romans chapter 8, that everything in your life God knows about, God's working on. And that situation you're in right now, you hate it, and you're cursing it, and you're grumbling about it, and God says, I ain't going to do a thing about it until you approach me in thanksgiving, and you make offerings of prayer for all things and all men. I don't care what someone's done to you. Thank God for that situation you're in. Why? Because he's sovereign. He knows where you're at. He has placed you in the middle of it. And prayer, instead of griping and complaining, will be the only thing that sets your heart in a mode for victory. And you'll be a Christian kicking a can around, grumbling right in the middle of what might be the greatest thing of your entire life, because right in the middle of this trial and struggle, the victory is right on the edge, because once that's done, God's going to reveal to you a tremendous blessing, and we're all griping about it. And God says, doggone it, we got to go back to line A and start over again. When are they going to learn? And we all do that, but God help us. The prayer is for all men. Acts 17:30 says that it's God's heart. Acts 17:30, it's God's heart, and he commands that all men everywhere should repent. He wants people to come to him. This is a prayer for the saved and for the unsaved. Verse 2, for kings. When's the last time you prayed for Bush and his cabinet? And I only mention Bush when he makes me upset. I'm sorry to confess. I need to stop. I need to start praying. When he makes a wrong decision, I need to pray for him. When he makes a right decision, I need to pray for him. We need to pray for our school teachers. We need to pray for our pastors in the area. We need to pray for everyone. Saved or not saved, we need to pray for them. For the king, for all who are in authority, that we, you see that word we, that literally, that in some of your Bibles it might say they, and that's a better translation, that they, those that curse us, those that make bad judgments and vote terrible things into the Senate and House and law, we need to pray for them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, an epistle that gives valuable advice to us believers who want to learn the value of Scripture and the responsibility of maintaining the truths of God's written Word. We'll continue with more of this look at the privilege of prayer on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, this is one of a number of letters written by Paul, and to better understand their historical and cultural context, the book of Acts, which is an historical narrative, serves as quite possibly the best companion to these New Testament letters. Well, we just finished a fascinating series through the book of Acts, which mentions Timothy, Rome, Philippi, Galatia, in other words, the people and churches in these cities to which Paul wrote. So to hear the series from the beginning, we've condensed its entirety all onto one convenient MP3 CD. And our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send it to you. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Starting with our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.